Matthew 14, verse starting in 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." I love to stop right here because this entire passage is about walking by faith and doing by faith. If they would have been able to see what we see today, Jesus knew already. It doesn't say that they might make it. It says, go before him unto the other side. There's already a promise of them making it across the sea before we even get to where we're going in the story. That's amazing. That's the God we serve. "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for loving us this morning, Father. We thank you for the wonderful day you've blessed us with, Lord, to be able to worship and serve you one more time. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be able to come into your house, Lord. We thank you for your word that you left behind. And as always, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and what he did on that cross for each one of us, Lord, and as unworthy as we were. And now, Lord, I pray right now specifically, Father, that you would shield me behind the cross this morning, Lord, that you would empty me of the things of this world and fill me with the Spirit, Father, so that we would hear directly from you and get a message directly from the throne room of grace this morning, Father. Lord, I pray this morning that this message would change each one of us as we go about our days, Lord, and help us to strengthen our walks in faith and to walk in your presence, Lord. And through it all, we'll be mindful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And it's in your most precious name I pray. Amen. So like I said, very, very familiar scripture. You can be seated. I love this passage. I love Peter. Being a sailor, Peter and I have a lot in common. And being a man, Peter and I have a lot in common. I am just as stubborn as Peter is. If you don't believe me, you can ask my wife. But we get to see that there's a question that Peter asks that a lot of us, I feel, we either don't ask, or when we do ask, the answer we get whenever it is come, we look past that portion of it. Peter asks simply, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Peter didn't ask these things. Because he wanted to poke his chest out and say, well, look what I did. Look at my faith. Look at my walk with the Lord. He did it because he wanted to get closer to the one that he knew could help. All it took was for Jesus to say, it is I. Be not afraid. He didn't even have to use his name. They knew who he was by how he spoke. I wonder today, and I wonder this morning, how many of us now understand I messed this up, and this is not a me being mean to anybody. I need to hear. I wonder how many of us today have forgotten what the voice of Jesus sounds like when he does call us. I wonder how many other churches could be planted in New Mexico that's got so much opportunity. I know a lot of people like to make fun of it and call it the land of entrapment, right? Everyone's heard it. This is my one story about me getting a big ego and prideful in my walk with the Lord. And it was one of the times whenever I should have listened to his voice then, but instead he had to break me and show me, was whenever I prayed at a meeting we were at somewhere. And I went down to the altar and I was praying and I just said, Lord, I know that I've surrendered to the Southwest. I thank you for the call. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Lord, my life is yours. I'll do whatever you want, but... Do y'all want to know what that but was? I said, but I will not go back to New Mexico. just being honest. I didn't want to. I grew up here. I knew what New Mexico had to offer. I knew where I was when I lived here. I didn't like me when I lived here. I didn't want to come back. Till I saw New Mexico through a Christian's eyes and I saw the need. And the Lord broke my heart from Deming to Hatch, New Mexico. It took about an hour and 15 minutes for the Lord to break my heart and say, yeah, you did do a bad work whenever you were here. Now let's come and do a good work. I think about how many lives I aided in ruining because of things that I did for my brother and the people he lived with, or how I treated people, or so on and so forth. But I am thankful that we serve a God that gives us more than one chance if we listen. There's still times that I'm like, are you sure New Mexico's the place? And he's like, yep. And I'm like, okay. We need to understand something, that God calls each one of us for an individual purpose. There's no doubt in my mind, there's a reason you went from Michigan to Florida to New Mexico. I bet you never saw that happen in your life, did you? Nobody does. I promise. I came out to New Mexico to visit with my family before I moved out here. You know the first question I asked? Where's the trees? You don't need trees in New Mexico, apparently. Cacti are close enough. I don't know. And the yucca plant, I love it. It's the ugliest state flower in America. But things I want us to see in the scripture, and I didn't give him the rest of the title because walk the walk is perfect. But in parentheses, I put of faith. I figured everyone knew that, so I wasn't going to give you that one. That, if you don't get anything else out of this, I pray that you would leave here with the urge to strengthen your walk of faith each day. Understand it's not a one and done deal. You have to do it daily. Things that we see in the scripture and in our lives that happen when we walk by faith. The first point, and understand this is the longest message I've written as far as points go. So let's get excited. There's five. Woo! And they all have subpoints. Amen. It's going to be quick, though. It's fun. Oh, we got the... Oh, this is his time, sir. His time. You're like, I got a pregnant wife. It's her time. But we do. We see first in verse 24... In our walk of faith, we will face storms. It's inevitable. Storms are coming our way. In verse 24, it says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Contrary, obviously, man, it's going against what you're set out to do, right? That's what we see. That's what happens a lot in our lives. But understand something. There's a reason that we face these storms. One, we see that the storms are used as tests of our own faith. There's times that, unfortunately, we do get a little ahead of ourselves. I'm the worst with the big P word that I'm going to say later, but the one called patience, I have zero. I don't pray for it because I know what that brings. But the Lord shows me when we go places and we're stuck in one bathroom and I've got three teenage daughters. And we got to get ready for church, amen. That doesn't go well. So, you know, I basically have to get ready the night before. But he does this for a reason. And it's not as, I wouldn't say as a test to see where you're at in faith at that specific moment a lot of the times. But it's a test to see how your faith's going to grow. A lot of the times we're going to fail the test at that specific moment. But a failed test, unlike in school, does not mean it's the end of the world. It means that he's got another test coming that he's already prepped you for ahead of time. We have in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the Bible says, my brethren, count it joy when ye fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A lot of the times we don't understand why God gives us the tests that he gives us. We talked about it a little bit earlier with Job. We see it with David and a lot of different people in the Bible, right? I mean, Joseph, he didn't understand why his brothers wanted to kill him and sell him, and you know, he as far as I can tell, he was a pretty good kid. But we see that the Lord had a plan for his life that ultimately would make him be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. There's a reason behind each test that we face. Secondly, we face storms as testimonies to grow others' faith. I'm going to reference a very wise person numerous times in this message. This is the one time, beginning of the message through all of it, I'm going to tell y'all her name. Her name is Nicole. If I say a wise person told me, I'm talking about her. But she did say it. It was in a family devotion one night. She says, how you act oftentimes is what's going to bring people to church. Sometimes you're the only Bible people get to read. A lot of the times how we handle situations in our lives is what's either going to bring people to church or send them away. If you handle things in a nasty and angry demeanor like I tend to do, it's probably not going to want a lot of people to come to church. I don't know how my kids are here. But then you've got, and I do have to gloat on you, you've got people that handle situations the way that my wife does. Maybe I don't like the way she handles it because she's so much more mature than I am half the time, it seems. But that's, in my eyes, a Christian walk. I was blessed. I know it's not Mother's Day anymore, but I have to compliment my wife on being a virtuous woman. The Lord has blessed me with something that I need to help me get through my temptations and my mess ups, that she can help me to be a better Christian and to walk better to where maybe my Bible looks a little better for others to read. Because if I handle things in public the way that Eli wants to handle things, Raton's not going anywhere. I know, it's not the happiest thing in the world to say. I promise it gets happier as we go along. But sometimes we do face different trials and different storms in our lives, not for our benefit, but for others who are lost, that don't have what we have. They don't have the promises that we're given. And if you handle it the right way, and people are like, man, you went through that and you handled yourself, you composed yourself so well. I don't know how you're happy through losing family members during COVID. I don't understand how you're happy through losing your job and almost losing your house. I don't know, because we serve someone that takes care of us, that promises us things that this world can't promise us. That's how. But if we handle it like the world, if we look like the world and we act like the world, they've already got that. There's no need for them to be here on Sunday morning. The third thing that we see in our storms, this is my favorite because I'm horrible at it. They're time trials to test our faith in God's timing. Yeah, it's my least favorite because I'm horrible with it. A lot of the times when we pray, and I was talking to Pastor Travis about it this morning. It's weird because I feel like I'm calling you by your first name. I'm just going to call you Pastor T. Amen. Got to get some chains. Never mind. I did. As fleshly humans, you get three answers when you pray. Yes, no, and wait. We think no's the hardest, but it's not. Wait's always the hardest. But in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, it says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And I know a lot of y'all are looking at me like, well, what does that have to do with patience? It says, ye shall hold your peace. That means we shouldn't get ahead of God. That means that in God's timing, He's going to fight that battle for us. Which ultimately, if you look at the last two sub-points or points, whatever you want to call them, the last two T's that I said, that's going to help us grow our testimony for others, and it's also going to help us in our trials to grow our faith. I'm going to skip down a little bit, and I'll probably have to read it again. The reason I say all that, every point that I have in here works together, and it's because of Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and them who are the called according to His purpose. Yes, that means the good, the bad, the ugly. You know all the things that you vow to your wife when you get married? When you love God and you do for Him, they all work together no matter what the call or what the cost, for the greater good and a greater purpose for Him. Sometimes we may not like the things that He has us go through. Oftentimes we won't. And oftentimes it's hard for us to understand how it's going to work for a greater good, but we have to have the faith and the trust in Him that it will. The second thing we see when we walk by faith, oh, this one's going to make y'all really jump for joy. I know you're really excited for this one. It's another sad, more sad point. Hallelujah. We will walk solo from time to time. Now understand, I know God's with us. I know the Spirit dwells with us. I know He will not leave us. I get that point. But sometimes we will be the only human walking the walk of faith. Amen. That's a good thing. People, come on, be happy about it. Verses 28 and 29 show us this. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." If you look in verse 22, it says Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. We know of 12 disciples, right? We don't know how many were actually following him at this time. My true opinion, which I try not to give too much because my opinion ruins a lot of things, I believe he had more than the actual 12 that were following him at the time, but he had 12 that were really close to him. I'd love to say that when we get there, we'll know, but I don't think I'm going to ask him. I don't know. But we do see that there was more than just Peter in that boat. Can I tell you, Pastor, there's more than just one person sitting in this church right now. The reason, well, the points that I've got for why we're going to walk alone, why Peter was the only one that got out of the ship, why sometimes you feel like you're alone in your walk with God. One, faith is uncomfortable. A lot of the time, God's going to ask us to get out of our comfort zone and do things we don't like, you know, such as talking in front of people, such as going and knocking on random people's doors and inviting them to church. I was scared to death. Still get scared to death. Every time the Lord's like, hey, you should go witness this person, I'm like, yeah, you sure? The weirdest one, I battled with God in Chick-fil-A's parking lot in Oakwood, Georgia. We were going through the drive-thru. I swear to this day, my wife thought that I was like running away from our marriage. I didn't tell her what I was doing. I didn't explain to her the conviction I was under. I grabbed a track and I got out of the car. She's like, well, okay, bye. There was a man that was waving people through. I don't know. Y'all got a Chick-fil-A in Albuquerque, right? Chick-fil-A's got drive-thrus down pat. Phenomenal. They got people flagging. It's amazing. Man had one leg. I didn't know why the Lord was like, you need to go and love on this guy and let him know that you're praying for him. Let him know that whatever he's going through, it'll be okay. Dude broke down in tears. Gave me a hug. He said, my family and I are going through so much. You don't know how much this means to me. Every time we go through now, he asks how the ministry's doing. And he's praying for us and tells us what the Lord's doing in his life. A lot of the times we don't understand. Nobody wants to see a 6'3", 350-pound man with a beard get out of a car and start walking abruptly towards them in a parking lot. I'm sure that guy was real excited. But sometimes we got to do the uncomfortable. Peter did it. Who here would be comfortable? I was in the Navy. I know how uncomfortable it would be for someone to be like, hey, just come on. These are 20-foot swells, and I don't know what's under there. I don't know what weird animals that could eat me are under there. Nah. Peter did it. Second, we see, you walk solo because faith is unpopular. Let's be real. There's not very many people on TV. There's not very many people in the NFL. There's not very many people winning national championships for the University of Georgia. There's not very many people. Yeah, I had to say it. There's not very many people walking around the streets of Albuquerque right now that have huge followings and have 5,000 friends on Facebook, MySpace, whatever social media there is, that are getting those numbers because they're walking by faith. Amen. I saw something the other day. I like to read other pastors' things on Facebook, and it said, Jesus only had 12 disciples and one betrayed him. No one cares how many followers you have. It's pretty good. Even more so, Jesus washed his feet and fed him and gave him the bag to go and collect the money. I'm glad that we serve a God that is that spiritual, that can do that. Because I would have walked right up to, never mind. Eli would have, right? I feel like you would have as well. We all would have, but Jesus didn't. A lot of the times, the things that the Lord's going to ask us to do, in a lot of people's eyes, and not just in the lost and the worldly people, but in the eyes of a lot of saved Christians' eyes, is unpopular. It's a lot easier for a pastor to have 13 people that have called to preach to sit in a corner and say amen and shout him on and go and do a lot of stuff for him. It's not as easy for that pastor to shout him on when they say, the Lord's called me to do this, I have to go. A lot of the disciples in that boat, I could see it. I would probably be one of them and be like, Peter, you're an idiot. You should not do that. Look at the storm. You should probably stay in the boat. I'm worried about how many churches we see today that have too many people that are so comfortable in the boat that they're convincing other people that staying in the boat's where they should be as opposed to listening to God. It breaks my heart because of the need that we've seen just since studying the Southwest. Brother, that's only been, if you add all the half states that we put into it, we did New Mexico, Arizona, half of Texas, half of Colorado, half of Utah, and a little portion of Oklahoma. The need in just those few states, I wonder how bad it is everywhere else. And I wonder how many people were told to just stay in the boat. Don't ever let someone else try and tell you God's will for your life. I know I can just tell I've known him for not long, but I know Pastor loves y'all. I feel like I can tell that he's a happy individual. He's got one of the best baptistries I've seen in all of America. He loves what he does. I don't think it would hurt his heart one bit if one of y'all had a call and you came to him and said, the Lord's called me to go plant a church. I understand sometimes it might hurt, especially being in New Mexico, right? I haven't been to very many 5,000 person congregations out here. But I promise you, he's going to love being able to watch that fruit and watch everyone flourish and grow in God as opposed to his own fleshly wants. Amen. And that's where a lot of us do get it messed up. And I mess up quite frequently because I do think that Eli's got this under control until Eli realizes that we said it earlier, right? Everything that Eli touches, he breaks. I should have been in demolition, apparently, because I'm great at breaking stuff. But God's an amazing fixer, and that's what he does. If we walk by faith, we do, and we'll see that in a minute. The last thing we see walking solo, this one gets us, is a lot of us get scared because faith is unseen. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That scares a lot of us. I like being able to know, right? I like having the plan, and that was one of my favorite things about the Navy. People are like, oh, you're in the military, you've got everything. Do y'all understand that the first thing you get whenever you go to quarters in the United States Navy is a plan of the day, because that's how dumb we are? We have to have other people that have been in longer than us plan our days for us. I get used to that. I get used to my wife. She ever got sick and couldn't come to church, because I don't know, I'm going to have to call you to come up and preach. Like, I don't even know what I'm going to do. But it's scary. A lot of the things that we deal with as far as the storms go and walking alone, it's frightening. It's not fun. I like to look at myself as a big, burly individual, right? I'm like, me man, me strong. And then I do stuff for God and I turn into, like, squishy, man. I don't even know. Everything scares me. I don't like to speak because I'm me. Like, just ask her how great I am at talking. It's horrible. But that's what we deal with walking in faith. Then we get our third point of sadness. This one's really not sad. Understand that none of them, I hope you all understand, none of that's sad. Everything gets used because it's a benefit for us and for him. Right? I know the walking alone seems rough, but how many times do we get to see just the Lord perform amazing miracles because we did step out doesn't matter who goes with you. I'm blessed. I've got a family of seven, if you include me. I guess technically I get a congregation of six starting off the rip because I got people going with me. Some people don't have that. If you go and plant another church, you're about to have a congregation of seven, brother. Amen. I'm glad the Lord blessed you with a boy. But we do, in the third point, we see when you walk by faith, occasionally we sink. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried saying, Lord, save me. Well, why do we sink? Because we're not perfect. Only one was perfect. We're never going to be perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. If anything, I claim to be the complete opposite of perfect. I'm much better at talking badly about myself than I am talking good about myself. But we do. We aren't perfect. We get preoccupied. You can sink from getting preoccupied. Yeah, there's a story, I believe it's in Luke, where Jesus comes into town and Martha allows him into her house. Martha, and it plainly states, I know because I love the word cumbered, because the fleshly Southeasterner in me, whenever I first read that verse, I was like, I don't know what cucumbers have to do with anything, but hallelujah, she was cumbered. Turns out that just meant busy. Had nothing to do with cucumbers. But she talks to Jesus because Mary's doing what at that moment? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha comes up, and I'm paraphrasing, but she's like, man, hey, like I'm doing all this stuff, and she's sitting here doing nothing. Help me out, man. Now that's the fleshly version of it, right? That's the paraphrasing version. That's how we are today. This is the Ebonic Bible. Y'all need to look into that. There is an Ebonics Bible. Check it. It's hilarious. But don't quote it. There's also an Emoji Bible. Found that out, yes. Phenomenal, right? That's, woo! We're doing good things in America. But Jesus said, Martha, Martha, there's one good thing, and Mary hath chosen it. A lot of the time, spending time at the feet of the Lord isn't what this world would expect to bring us joy and to bring us riches and to bring us a life of benefits, because they can't see it, because we look slothful, right? Not very many people that have a family of six that you have to take across the country. People are like, literally, we've been told this by lost people. So y'all just go across the country begging for money from churches. No, I didn't quit my full-time job welding when the Lord told me to. So on Valentine's Day, right, when you're supposed to be spending a good time with your wife and enjoying it, which was amazing, she bought me a shotgun and I bought her a rifle, hallelujah, because the Lord's just great like that. And he blessed me with a wife that is awesome. We get out of the gun range. What'd y'all do on Valentine's Day? Went and shot guns that we just bought each other. Yeah, you should just keep your hand up there. I walk a lot. This is my cardio for the week. But getting to the van from the gun range, and I got a voicemail. And my boss said, because of the rain, the landfill is closed down, so we don't need you. I'll call you at the beginning of next week. So the beginning of next week never came. I truly believe, because we all went to the same church, and because I'm large, he didn't want to tell me that I was fired. So he used the weather as an excuse. That same time, I had just bought a new truck, and this was right after, well, I bought the truck before we went to the meeting where I surrendered my call to the mission field. Had a 2001 Dodge Ram sitting on 35s, big, beautiful truck. Went to drive it to work. The first day I had it, the drive shaft fell out, so I had to push it up onto the curb, got it fixed, new transmission, new transfer case. Oh, so amazing, drove beautifully. Get it back from the shop. The Lord was like, so you're going on the mission field and you need a truck that gets 6 miles to the gallon? I said, I guess not. The Lord made me lose my job and sell my truck all within 3 days. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand a man, and the Bible plainly states that a man should provide for his family. Well, turns out God provides for my family a lot better than I do. So by me heeding to his word, like we've talked about through this, he has blessed abundantly. made us get to our support, basically in what I would say record time from some of the stories we've heard, raised support from Heartland and from Brother Rogers meeting above our startup costs that we had written out that we've got sitting waiting to be used for the church in Raton. Open doors in Raton to meet people, to love on people. They're susceptible. They're excited for the growth. And I promise you it has nothing to do with me or anyone sitting over there or back there with Squishy. It's got a lot to do with it being covered in prayer and listening and the fact that she can wait. I'm not oblivious to the fact that a lot of the times I get to reap off of her prayers and her waiting. I'm just being honest. But we do see that. We do see that walking the way that we walk gets us preoccupied in things, and we're not perfect. And ultimately, my last one on that is we lose patience. I don't know if y'all have heard me talk about patience recently, but I'm not good with it. The Lord's helping me by having teenage daughters that are homeschooled. Amen. But upon what y'all think, how I'm using that, the Lord has got to teach me so much through them. He's helped me a little bit more, and I know that they don't get to see it, but He's done a work in my life to remind me, hey, big idiot, they're teenagers, man. What do you expect? Just be happy that they're not acting the way you acted. The Lord gets to use so many different things to grow our walk and to grow our faith in Him that I could just sit here and brag about Him all day long, and it's just been so fun to see. It's fun to watch them grow. Kind of. They've grown a little. But we do see that we've got to cover the facts that, well, we get storms, we walk solo, and we sink. Doesn't that just sound fun? Doesn't that make everyone want to walk by faith, right? Next thing we see, happy points. We'll always be safe. When you walk by faith, you will always be safe. Now, I understand, like I said first, we're going to face trials. It's not always going to be the easiest. Things are going to look impossible. Amen. There's scripture that says, for man it is impossible. But nothing's impossible with God, right? That's also paraphrasing. I'm not good at quoting scripture, so, you know, amen. We see that we'll be safe because, well, He rescues us when we sink. We see it in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. We'll get to the next one, the end of that phrase, or the end of that verse in a second. But He does. John 14:8 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. My kids and my wife already know where this is going. I always like to brag on the fact that God never says He might do something. God never says, maybe I'll give you this. We serve a Lord of absolutes. And He says it right there in John 14:8. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. There's no room for doubt when the Lord speaks to us. We might doubt it, but He doesn't. You might doubt yourself, but He doesn't. I know I do, but He doesn't. Secondly, I know that y'all are not going to understand. You will understand, but when I first wrote this, I was like, God, are you sure? Like, I was talking about being safe, and you want me to put that? He said, put it. So I did. We're safe. He rescues us. He rebukes us. He rebukes us where we're lacking. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. A good father chastises his children. That's who we serve. We serve the best father, and He does have to chastise us from time to time. And that's going to come in a lot of different shapes, form, and sizes. Sometimes it comes in a 5'1½" blonde lady. But it happens. But He does it because, and it says right there, at the beginning of Revelation 3:19, it says, as many as I love, He doesn't rebuke us because he hates us or because he wants the worst out of our lives. He rebukes us because he loves us and he wants better for us. A lot of the time he has to rebuke us because we don't listen to his call on our lives, because we have went astray, because we have done something dumb, because he also understands something. From the beginning to the end, he knew we were flesh. And he knew that he was going to have to punish us, basically, and correct us from time to time. Lastly, on being saved, he restores us with love. He does this throughout the entire Bible. Not one time did Jesus restore someone, whether it be spiritually, whether it be taking their sin away, or actually restore an illness, that he did it out of pride or because he was tired of being bothered. He did it because he loved. He restores us because he loves us. There's no reason that I should be up here preaching right now in Edgewood, New Mexico, especially with the life that I lived. There's no reason that I should hear stories about the biggest meth dealers in Georgia getting saved and now having one of the biggest Rock of Ages ministries in the Southeast, because we as ourselves stopped loving ourselves. The world stopped loving us, but he never did. And that's why he restores us and lets us use what we've been through. If we listen and we actually submit. So I used to say I surrendered my call to preach, and I heard it from a really dear friend of mine that was preaching one day. I like to use the word submit now, because when you surrender to someone, you do it unwillingly. You do it because you've lost the battle. When you submit to someone, just as we see in the Bible where it says a wife is supposed to submit to her husband, it's the same thing. It's willingly. You willingly give yourself over. You willingly do these things. When we do that, the Lord can use us, and we get to watch all the things that I talked about earlier, the sinking, the storms, and the walking alone. We finally get to see it. Yeah, it might be slow from time to time. It may not happen in our timing, but whenever the good does actually happen, that's when we get to see the actual harvest, and we get to reap from it, and we get to glean, and we get to enjoy our lives. The Lord is so good to us, even when we're not good to him. My last point, I told y'all it would be fairly quick. So we've seen the storms. I wanted to just put alone, but I had to use S's, so solo was alone. We've done storms. We've been solo. We've sunk. Now we're safe. And lastly, when we walk by faith, we will be successful. Romans 8:28, I said it earlier and I'm going to say it again. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When we walk by faith, we gain success through his presence. We get the joy of knowing that no matter what we're going through or what we're going to face, that he's going to be with us. When I do something dumb, and my wife has to deal with it, right at that time, I may think that it's the end of the world. I may think that our lives are over. But the Lord was there with me. He went before me. And prayerfully, he's going to come after me and restore what I have ruined. That's how I look at things. That's just an example of how his presence makes us successful. And then ultimately, we get to grow in it. I love all the stories where you get to see. My favorite one, and I don't know why I can never remember it, and it really does bother me, but when there's hardly anyone to fight the battle, and like they go up, and then the opposing military starts killing each other off, right? You know the story. It's my paraphrasing once again. I'm not the best. I'm not the most scholarly individual, you know, amen, but I get the benefit to be able to preach because that's what the Lord's done in my life. I get the benefit of seeing the people that I used to run with basically killing each other off and not knowing why. And I don't mean literally killing each other off. I mean just, oh, let me give you a hug. While I'm hugging you, I'm putting a knife in your back sort of deal. I love, and we all do that. We're all flesh. But I love that now as a family of Christ, I don't deal with that anymore. Are we always going to make each other happy? No, we're not. And a lot of the times, if you really love someone, you're really going to hurt that person. But do not forget that through it all, you're going to be successful because he's with you. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt shew me a path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore." I love Psalms. I really do. They make me happy. But this should really make all of us happy. The middle of that verse, it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So understand that means in any situation of your life when you walk with the Lord, because he is present in your life, you should have fullness of joy. It's really hard for us to comprehend. And by us, I mean me. Because there's a lot of times that I don't understand how he expects us to be happy. And then whenever I was actually looking for scriptures, I didn't want to put that down. I don't even think that was one of the scriptures that I was looking up as far as his presence went. I actually think it was about being happy. And I read that and I was like, man, you're so wise how you know everything. Because there's a lot of times that I am unhappy, but it plainly states that because he's with me, I should be happy. So who's in the wrong there? It's not him. We'll be successful through his presence, through his power, and through his promises. Those are your three P's. I just wanted to wrap it up. But through his power, successful in power, which also you get his power because he's present in your life. Would you like a story behind it? Here you go. I bet you might know it. David and Goliath. Boom. David was not equipped with anything other than a slingshot and five rocks. He didn't have the armor. He couldn't prove Saul's armor. He wasn't a big, burly individual like his brothers were that were standing behind the lines and were shaking and, oh, big, burly man. And then their little brother comes with some cheese and is like, that guy? That guy that thought he was going to talk about my God? No. Dead. Not because David was strong, not because he was powerful, but because God's powerful. Time and time again, we see it in the Bible through everyone. Gideon's one of my favorite stories. That wasn't Gideon's power, and God made that very apparent after he did what he did. He said, I had to bring the numbers down, because if we keep with the numbers and you win on your accord, you get the glory. But whenever I do it in my fashion, I get the glory. That's sometimes why we get put in situations that we don't truly understand, especially when we walk for him and we walk by faith, because it's for his glory through his power that we succeed. Lastly, and then I'll finish, we're successful through his promises. It's what our Bible is. It's full of promises from beginning to end. We're promised so much because he loves us, and that's what he wants from us. He not wants from us, wants for us. I don't see any promise that's been given to us as a saved Christian in the Bible that really makes us want to turn away from being a Christian. I would much rather be promised an eternity in heaven, glorifying and serving him, than an eternity in hell. That doesn't seem like a very good place to me. I know that we're going to have to endure seeing some things, and if you haven't looked at the great white throne of judgment, then understand that this is my outlook. I truly do believe that we're going to have to sit there and watch people that are going to hell that we could have reached. I'm sure you've heard it portrayed that way. I truly do believe that there's going to be some people that I missed out on that are probably going to look me in my eyes and say, but why? One of them being one of my friends that I graduated high school with that committed suicide 2 years ago. And what makes it even worse is I was saved and should have reached out, but I didn't. Can I ultimately blame myself for his decision? No, but I can blame myself for him not getting the gospel. But even through all that, we're still promised an eternity in heaven with him. We're promised an eternity of joy. We're promised being heirs to the throne. We're promised a kingdom. We're promised a mansion. We're promised everything. Nowhere in the Bible, though, understand something, does it promise that it's going to be easy. It doesn't promise that it's going to be rainbows and butterflies the entire time. But it does promise that he's going to get us through it. walking by faith may not be this world's definition of glorious or glamorous. But friend, I'm here to tell you that it is way more than that. Being able to stand here today and tell you that because someone as wretched and as dumb as I was growing up, that still is allowed to do for the Lord and still gets called from the Lord and for the most part is fairly decent at heeding to his calls, even though sometimes they're crazy, like not being saved very long and surrendering to go. Literally that time I surrendered because he told me, like, you're going to New Mexico. I was like, okay, fine. It's scary. But knowing that walking by faith is my one chance to please God. I know that maybe not theologically sound for most, but there's a lot of times, like, look at it in our scripture that we just read, and then I promise you I'm done. The chastising that I said I was going to bring up later, even though we might think that we're doing great things, Peter did something amazing that day. He literally stepped out by faith. But the Lord still had to ask him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I'm sure that really hurt Peter. But I also feel like at some point in time, he also got to be told, I told you that because I love you. I didn't say that to the others that stayed in the boat because there was no need to chasten them because they didn't even have the faith of mustard seed. Peter did. I wouldn't. In the ocean, I'm sorry. I'm an honest individual, I can't. But understand that that's how the world's going to look at you. That's how the world's going to think whenever you tell them what you're doing for God. They're going to say, wow, you're dumb. Like, what's the point in that? Oh, your family is a family of seven riding in a beat up, raggedy Chrysler Town and Country, like packed down to the max, just got a new headlight because you hit a deer in Oklahoma. Yeah, and I'll never forget hitting that deer because I'll never forget what God did for us at Heartland. I'll never forget the trips across America 98 times a year to come out to preach in churches in New Mexico and to see the people and the love. And that's because he reminds me that it's pleasing to him. Every last thing we do in our lives, when we walk by faith or whenever we serve him, it pleases him. And think about this, and this is the thought I want to leave you with, is a lot of people can talk about pleasing him, but let's wrap him up into a true statement. We're pleasing the one that created it all and gave it all to us. Think about what we owe him, but all he truly asks from us is to just go out and spread his word. And listen to him. That's it. He doesn't ask for much. And it's not hard. We may not always get it right, but even losses help us to grow closer to him and stronger in faith. I want to leave this morning and ask all of you from the bottom of my heart, because I do care about y'all and I do care about your pastor. Would you leave here today and stay the way you were? Or would you go out and take that step of faith? It's not my place to say this because I'm not the pastor of your church. But I wonder who here is going to go somewhere and eat lunch or go and get groceries for your family. Would you listen to that small, still voice that tells you to invite someone to church tonight? That's about how hard it is to walk by faith. I'm not saying each one of y'all are called to the mission field. I'm not saying each one of you are called preachers. Unless you're a preacher's wife, then you're probably a called preacher. But you know what I'm saying. Yeah, you felt that in your heart. I could feel it. Just something that simple pleases God. Would you be willing? Thank you, preacher.